Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have some announcements to make, and then we're going to be bringing Pastor Kenny Powers in to hold services. There's going to be some changes made in this ministry. The Lord been dealing with me the past little time. So we're going to be going to him every day. And the way we're setting up, it'd be in the evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. But we're going to be dealing with the whole Bible. On Monday and Tuesday, we'll be in the Old Testament. Wednesday, I'll be reading to you the book of Revelation and then ending with prayer time. Thursday and Friday, we'll be in the four Gospels. Saturday and Sunday, we'll be in the New Testament. This way we will be covering the whole complete Bible. And hopefully it won't be too long until we'll be through it. But there's a lot of things that's overlooked, and all because of the way services are usually held. And now, since we are going to be going to him every evening, and he's dealing with me too about also every morning, we will be starting this coming Thursday. When we go on Thursday, we will be starting this. And we will be starting from the beginning of each one of these things. We'll be starting with the beginning of the Old Testament, the beginning of Revelations, the beginning of the four Gospels, and also the beginning of the New Testament, which actually is the book of Acts. As we start this, we'll get into this and explain more about this division and why. So now, let's see what God has gave our brother, Pastor Kenny. So Pastor Kenny, it's all yours.
All right. Thank you, brother. So, let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Let me get YouTube going here. Bear with me a second. All right. Praise the Lord. Pastor Kenny Powers, glad to be in here with you. So let me get all set up here. Trying to get a bunch of things done at the same time. So bear with me a second. All right, good evening. It's Pastor Kenny Powers. Glad to be in here with you. So this is Palm Sunday. So go ahead and start our service here with prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this evening. And for this church that you've given us, this ministry you put your servant in, Father, to be able to reach around the world to teach this, your word, to people that do not understand your word, why they are created to start with, and, Father, what they should be doing. And, Father, as Pastor Tony has been talking, we need to be teaching more, be in the word more, so we know what we should be doing and what we should be saying. And Father, just bless your servant with your spirit and bring forth from this message that which all of us need to hear, Father. And we ask this to be done in Jesus' name. All right, praise God. So, Palm Sunday, what is it? What does it mean? I'm teaching on YouTube Live, and also I'm going to put this, try to break it up and get it onto TikTok. So I got two things I'm looking at here for cameras. So you're watching me live. Might be a little weird. So what is Palm Sunday? What is this Easter thing? What's it all about? And why does it matter? And what's the purpose of the palms, Holy Week? So what does all this mean? So we'll pick up here in John chapter 12 here. Verse 1, we'll go down about probably 15 verses. I'll read it and kind of cover it as we go a little bit. Let's pick up here in John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Now, what is the Passover? Let's talk about that real quick. That is when, back when the Jews, the Hebrews, were in Egypt. And they marked their house because God had, right, brought all the plagues on Egypt. Now, he had commanded, right, that the Jews mark their house. I think it was marked with a cross. That's what I think. But it was marked, right? So God knew their house. And every house that did not have that mark, right, God took their firstborn. So even the animals, right? He took all the firstborn. So that is the Passover. Passing over the house. It's important to understand this stuff. So yeah, we can go back there. I can't get my phone to work. Sorry. So it'll be in Exodus, chapter 12. So if you want to go over there with me real quick. I don't like teaching like this, but it's important that you all understand what the Passover is. And I was trying to bring it up, but my apologies. I bring my hand next to my phone. Everybody wants to, because I'm calling on it. So Exodus 12. Pick up here in Exodus chapter 12, ironically John 12, Exodus 12, okay? My Bible here says the Passover. So let's cover this real quick, okay? Verse 1, Exodus 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month on the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, right? According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Okay? Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. So let's stop here real quick. So Jesus fulfilled the law, Israel without blemish or spot. So what does that mean? That means you and I, as well as see Jesus, committed no sin. He is the acceptable sacrifice, right? That's why when he's made his way into heaven, because he had no sin. He was not born in sin. He committed no sin. So no spot or no blemish. Amen? So what that means for you and I is we have to keep ourselves pure without spot or blemish, no living in sin. Once we have committed ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll fulfill that plan of salvation, right? There is no more offering for sin, explained in Hebrews chapter 10, right? Jesus is not going back on the cross, right, to sacrifice for our sin. Once again, that's not going to happen. Okay. So your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. A bloody mess, right? I don't know if you watched The Passion of the Christ, but Jesus was a bloody mess. Right? So, this was committed. Verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. So in other words, ye eat it all. Right? And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Okay? Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat of it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. This is the Passover, what it means. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Right? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will, he will what? What did he do? I will pass over you. So Passover, okay? So we have one word for it now, right? Passover. But it's Passover, right? As the scripture says here, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leaveneth bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So, you know, big thing with disobeying with God, right? You get pretty much kicked out. There's no disobeying God's word, and you can stay in the tribe. Right, and you will find that in the law there in Leviticus, right? There's a bunch of, you know, the laws that they had to follow. And if you didn't, right, you had to leave. So, right, you couldn't stay with your family. Couldn't be with Israel anymore. All right, so this is the meaning of the Passover, right? So let's go back here to, hold on. I've got to be real quick with my phone. I'm using it to call in on. Put my hand next to it, and it goes black. So the screen goes blank, John 12. All right. So we'll go back here and start back at the beginning of the service. I wanted to cover Passover, what it means. Not everybody understands what Passover means. And Passover what? They took the firstborn of every house that did not have that marking of the blood on the doorposts, right, of the house. All right, John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat in the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? So, I mean, this was expensive. We could help other people with that. So what's the big deal? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Right. This is the Judas that betrayed Jesus, right? So he's a thief. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because he got raised from the dead, was now killing, right? So, you know what I mean? Not only they want to put Jesus to death, but those that he's healed and raised from the dead, they want to get rid of too. See, this is the problem with religion. And what we should be worshiping is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a relationship. Okay? And this is a difference. A lot of people chase a religion when it's really just, it's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we need to be chasing and pursuing. Amen? Not mankind. Not man-made religions. Right? You don't just go to a building and get peace just because you show up, right, and hear a message. So, so this is the thing. We need to worship Jesus Christ, not a priest, not a pastor, not a building, right? We are to fellowship one with another, which we are doing worldwide right now. People are listening to this message, okay? I do share it on TikTok, on Facebook. So we are reaching people around the world. I know so because they talk to me every day, Pakistan and Africa, Philippines, different places around the world. Sadly, we got a lot of churches right here in our own community in Kentucky that are closing. America is very... I did not really grow up. I went to church as a young boy, but I was not a believer. But, Sundays, like, churches had people in them everywhere, right? cars would be packed in the church lots, right? And if you didn't go to church, you were very bad, right? And you had to be seen, right, in other places, right? You had to go to church somewhere. Somebody had to witness it, right? So America is really strayed from God. The enemy knows that when he can get into and destroy freedom and liberty in America, right, and infiltrate the churches, and that's what's happened. Pastor Tony teaches on this all the time. Now I've got requests to every single week, sometimes every single day, to partner with churches in different countries around the world. You know, partner with us, and I know let's plant some churches, and we like your teaching, and I want that. But, I mean, I study God's Word, I read it, and I teach it. You're busy. I understand I want to help and give millions of dollars and have my own plane and fly there and to teach and feed the poor and, you know what I mean, do everything Jesus did. That's what I want to do, right? But what I can do, right, is teach this for now online, worldwide, while it's allowed. And they're trying to shut that down. Trying to make a ban on TikTok because of Chinese spying, but in our own government, every one of these mobile applications, right, have spy tools in them that report and track your behavior. They track where you go, right? And they sell your information, not just to the government, but private other businesses. I don't even know where all your information goes off of your phone. Of course, we don't hear complaining about that from our government here in America, about their own spying on us, right? But them other people are bad. So I'm not going to run down our country. The thing is, America is strayed from its founding. And, you know what I mean? America goes down. Who are you going to call? The United Nations when a typhoon wipes out your country? Does China send trillions of dollars your way or what? I don't think so. I'm not seeing that. So he knows if he can divide you and me from God's word, as he's done with a lot of our churches today. We got too many pastors chasing dollars. They're chasing money. They got that entertainment system put in their churches. You know, they got dancing and all that stuff. No teaching. So it's kind of like spiritual junk food. Look, I love candy bars and ice cream and donuts, right? But it doesn't put meat on your bones. So the meat that we need is in God's Word. And we need to eat of it every single day. And this is what is required for us to survive in this walk with the Lord. So, you know, back to here with, you know, if you do any kind of healing, you're going to be attacked. Jesus was. They were going to put Lazarus to death. So if you were healed, they'll want to kill you. Churches will want to deny you today. Nah, that's just... they don't know what they're talking about. Just keep going to our church. Keep giving us money and listening to our messages. Right? Don't worry about those other people. They're crazy. Right? That's the problem today in the world that we live in. The churches are all spread out. Should just be one message that you hear no matter what church you go to. This is what Jesus was upset about because, you know, it was not being done as it was laid out. as the law was laid out. They added a lot of rules and laws, right, and burdened the people, but didn't help them. And we have that same problem in our own country, in our government today. That, maybe a million pages of laws. They're not going to enforce all that on every single person. That's crazy. So everybody essentially is, right, where there is no law, there is no sin. Today we have sin makers, for lack of a better word. I mean, I don't know. There's other nicer words I could use, but they're creating sin when they're passing all these laws every day, every week, every year. You know what I mean? Everything is becoming a crime. So, don't get me wrong. I love my country. I love America, and I love God. But we have to put freedom first. Amen. And that spiritual freedom is what we're losing. And this is a very dangerous time in America and the world, because, right, America go down, right, we're going to be persecuted. Those that watch this message won't be able to see it anymore. Those of us that teach it will be gone or imprisoned or otherwise killed. Man, it's no different in the Bible than it is for us today. You know, we have to live and walk in newness of life each and every day. So let's get back here. John 12, verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Hey, this guy healed all these people. Man, we're going to lose all our church members. Why would they come here when they can go over there where the real stuff is at? Yeah, we can't have that. We don't like that. See, truth is viewed as competition, right? Lord Jesus Christ should be truth. Should just be one message, right? We should embrace truth. And this is the trouble with unbelief. That's why we're not seeing the dead raised. And, you know, all these things, Jesus said, greater things than you shall do, because I go to the Father. So why aren't we seeing that? Unbelief. I mean, the shadow of Peter. Just the shadow of Peter. People came to that the shadow of him walking by. You know, because it would heal people. I mean, Peter, trust me, the big mouth, right? He always made promises that, frankly, we all make. Hey, I'm going to be with you to the end. You can count on me. I am your man, right? We all make these promises to God. You know what I mean? He also was the only one who had enough faith to get out of the boat. This is the thing that always I laugh at whenever I study John. I love the book of John, right? The disciple that Jesus loved. Well, the disciple that Jesus loved did not get out of the boat, right? That was Peter. Peter had enough faith to get up and out of the boat. Amen? Not the disciple that Jesus loved, which was John, right? So, and Jesus built the church on Peter. So there's some lessons there we can take away from that. Not that we should have a big mouth and make promises to God, but we should have that faith. Got to have that faith to step out in love, right, to the Lord Jesus Christ and love him. And not worry about physical destruction. Our body will die. Money will come and go. Jobs will come and go. And if you're going to have enough faith to walk in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to understand, when you read the Bible, the prophets were persecuted, sawed into, imprisoned, you know, murdered. Truth is competition that the enemy doesn't want. And this is the problem in our own community right outside here in this town that I live in. They don't want to hear truth. Right? They're not interested in truth. And this is the problem with, you know, a lot of your churches today. Right? You have to go to their seminary. You have to, you know, be baptized their way. Or I had a pastor one time said baptism is just symbolic. You don't need it at all. Who cares? It's not important. Well, that's not what my word says. Verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast. Now, this is talking about the Passover, right? When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, what is a palm branch? What was that about? So, what does that mean? Okay, well, I mean, I guess it symbolizes peace, right? I know I get awful peaceful when I see palm trees. I'm just teasing, right? I don't know how well they grow up here in Kentucky where I live. I think it's pretty cold. But down south in warmer climates, they are pretty. They're beautiful. I think the point is they brought the branches, right? Took the branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of the... And Jesus, when he had... So they brought them with him, okay? And Jesus, when he had found a young ass... Now, that's a donkey, okay? Sat therein, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt, not sitting on a horse. A donkey is calm, right? King would ride a big, strong horse, right? Not a donkey. Right, it's more about humility thing, right? Not proud and arrogant coming through and riding a big stallion, you know what I'm saying? And like a king would ride, right? Even today in some of your countries, they have a king would ride a thoroughbred, right? But not a donkey. So... And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So like today, this is why I'm teaching about what is the Passover? What does that mean? Right? So this is the week. So next week, so essentially like next Friday night, so the Holy Week, right, starts. You know what I mean? Today. Actually, Friday night, but anyway. We worship Jesus here in America today on Sunday, not on Saturday, which is Friday night at dark to Saturday night at dark. Because if you go back to Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. Day started at dark. Sunday is the first day of the week. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Friday night at dark to Saturday night at dark is the Sabbath. Okay? Some people don't know that. So the evening and the morning of the first day, that goes back to Genesis in the beginning. Listening to our teaching, you'll learn a whole lot of stuff. It's right here in God's Word. You just got to open it and read it for yourself and be baptized in Jesus' name. Fulfill that plan of salvation in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And the Lord will talk to you. He will give you information. It's kind of like a download. We live in a computer age, right? I got my phone. We got a new app, right? We download the app. We update the app, right? Application. So we need updated. Right? If you don't update your phone or your laptop, right, it starts acting stupid after a while. I know my phone, if it doesn't get updated, some stuff, it doesn't work at all. And we don't either. When we are not updated from studying God's Word and communing with God, right, every day, the more we stay out of God's Word, the dumber we get. Not very nice to say that, but it's accurate. You become more ignorant, right? So you see people around you doing senseless things, like shooting up schools or, you know, I got a niece and a nephew, both of them, kids of my half-sister, playing their thought process, what they're doing with their life and with their kids. It's senseless. Now, I'm not saying I'm better than other people, right? I've been dumb and ignorant when I was younger. I try to not do so much of that anymore. And I'm not running anybody down, right? But when you see senseless acts, violence or, you know, not thinking clear, just being ignorant and stupid, these people are trusting in a God that has no sense. Senseless, right? Eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, right? Mouth but cannot speak. Senseless. So whether that's food or, you know, some statue, work, whatever their idol is, right, is senseless. It has no sense. So therefore, it can't help you, but it can cause you to be destroyed, because God's not going to put up with that. There's only one true God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So, 16, these things understood not as disciples. A lot of these things are not understood in the churches today. How many Christian churches know what Passover is? What are the palms riding Jesus riding this little donkey about? What's that about? Pastors teaching this? They explaining it to the people? Not many. If you can get anybody to go to church today. A lot of people just don't want to go to church. And I don't blame them, because you got 15 or 20 versions of the truth in your own community. What's truth? And now we're back to Jesus and Pontius Pilate. What is truth? I mean, I don't know. What's truth? Where are you going to go to find truth? Which of the 20 or 30 different denominations in your community are truth? Do you see the problem, right? If I have to choose between 20 or 30 different churches and what truth is, confusing. It does. I'm not going to lie to you. Right? A lot of people just say, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. And they turn away. And, you know, that's not right either. And, you know, but I understand the frustration that people have, because they're not getting fit. They don't know what truth is. They turn their TV on. Is that truth? And which channel is truth? So this is a problem. There's a lot of just mass hysteria, right, going on caused by the enemy. He wants us all divided and upset and being weary and, you know, heavy laden and, you know, confused. See, if he can keep us confused, we stay out of the Bible. We don't turn to God if we know, right? We don't know what truth is. So he's very, very effective at keeping people out of God's word. So let's get back into this because I could talk for hours and hours and hours. Verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Now the Jews have a problem. Right? They got this Jesus guy and he's a Messiah and he's been foretold and they knew about it, but they don't know him. This is the problem. We got too many people going to these Christian churches, got a cross around their neck and they're wearing the long flowing robes and all this and they look great but they don't know God. They teach about what they don't know. They have no wisdom, they have no knowledge, they have no understanding because that's who God is. And if he's not inside of you, you don't have any of that. Doesn't matter how big a church building you've got. And I've seen some nice ones in our community. They're fancy. Big. In fact, there's one not too far north of where my pastor lives. They had a still there, pretty nice church. But they built a whole other one across the highway. You know, like, I don't know, half a mile away, kilometer or whatever away. I mean, wasn't nothing wrong with it. The one that they had, I'd take that one right now. So the thing is, this is the thing where we have to study God's word. We have to know him. We have to have that personal relationship with him. Right? Don't put your family first. Your family are not going to save you. Your money is not going to save you. Your job is not going to save you. What you know is not going to save you. Jesus saves. But we must put him first. Right? This is the problem because it takes work. Right? And we don't like work. We like to easy life, right? We just go to church and we hear some nice words and our life is just automatically better. I don't really have to do anything, do I? See, this is the problem, right? Faith takes work. You know, it does. It takes work for us. It's something that we don't see much of at all. It's people putting their faith to work. 18. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. Hey, you raised this guy from the dead. Let's go check him out. That's pretty cool. I would. Wouldn't you? I'm just saying, back in this day and time, right, I'd be one to go meet Jesus. I'd be one to go check him out. Right? For this cause, the people also met him. They heard that during this miracle, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Oh my God, how are we going to stop this? This is the problem. Your enemy is not terrorists from some foreign religion, some foreign planet, and some far-off solar system. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is your community churches that don't believe in this church, this religion, this relationship with Jesus Christ that you have. They want a system of belief so they can profit from it, like the Jews did, right? Jesus was upset and overturned the money changers. Well, the reason is because they were turning God into a business. And that's when a lot of pastors are just too lazy to work. Believe me, I'd rather I didn't have to drive a truck. I'd rather quit. and teach full time. But the Lord ain't made a way for me to do that just yet. I keep praying about that. But it takes money to pay bills. I got to work. A lot of you pastors just want to sell. They want to sell God today. Like the Jews, you know what I mean? They were using, right, their faith to make money. There's nothing wrong with me teaching God's word, getting enough to make a living. There's nothing wrong with that, right? You know, I don't know about the first $1 trillion ministry or billion or whatever it is. I don't think, right, that's something I want to shoot for, right? But I digress here. Let's move on. So this is the problem. Your enemy is your community churches that teach wrong and false teaching because of unbelief. They hate you. They want you destroyed. And your own family, like Jesus said, right, the enemies of a person are the members of thine own household. It's not somebody from Russia or Pakistan or China somewhere when I'm here in America. No, it's unbelievers right in my own family. They're the enemy. And believe me, they'll turn me in a heartbeat. And they'll turn on you. Jesus' enemy was his own people that didn't believe, unbelief. You got to understand that's the same problem with the church world today, right? Your enemy is the false teachers in that church that you, in your community, that does not believe in God. They teach false doctrine. They don't want to hear truth. People are the enemy of God. And guess what? You're a friend of God and obeying his word, you're the enemy. They're coming for you. So don't worry about some foreigner in a foreign country in some foreign galaxy, right, coming here in a spaceship to wipe you out. This won't be your local churches that's going to do that. It's going to be your own family. No different with Jesus than it is with us. You're going to obey God's word, you're going to have problems. 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida. Go down here a little bit. So I'm probably going to go ahead and stop here. You know, they laid down the branches, right? And Jesus rode the colt, the donkey, over them. So it was a symbol of peace. The donkey was a symbol of humility, right? He didn't come in on some big horse like he was the king, and even though he is. He had the right to do that, right? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he very much had the right to do that. So this is a problem, how to have power, but yet be humble. This is really hard. I struggle with it. How to have money and be humble. How to have power and be humble. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us, because money and power destroy so many people and so many lives. Actually, in one respect, personally, I'm kind of afraid of it a little bit. It's because it's something that can grab you and take you for a ride and take you to a place you don't want to go. And right, I've seen that happen. We all have. Yeah, I mean, how many homes do you need? How many helicopters do you need? That one guy, a pastor there in, I think in Louisiana, he needed $62 million for a jet. I mean, what, he can't fly, United Airlines or something? He can't just fly. I mean, Jesus walked everywhere he went. I mean, don't get me wrong, and I'd look great in a $62 million jet, right? But is that really the best allocation of God's resources? This is why I don't like selling God. I don't like people that do that, right? Because they're just lining their own pockets. They're too lazy to work. Temptation is you're going to do the wrong thing. You don't need, you know, your own private jet. All right, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this evening's service. And, Father, for bringing forth out of this message about the Passover and the donkey and the palm branches, Father, what it all means and why it's important. And, Father, that it's important to worship you and not power. You are the only power. And not money, because you are our provider, Father. Not money. Paper money is not provision. Father, that you continue to bless this small little church. We have almost no money. Currently, we have no building. But, Father, we're reaching around the world. I have invitations every week to come to Kenya, you know, to come to Pakistan. When are you coming? That's all they want to know, Father. And I feel for these people. I want to teach them. Father, but you've called me in this local ministry, and Father, we're having trouble getting people in the door. In fact, we're having trouble getting a door, period. But Father, you are the door. You are the door, Father. It's not something I'm worried about or I'm afraid of, Father. You will provide for us. Just keep us healthy. Take care and heal my diabetes, Father. Pastor Tony, heal his heart, his lungs, Father. Heal his back. And his wife, Libby, Father, restore her mind. And Father, we pray for Pastor Dennis. Him and his wife and his family are healthy and strong and walking with the Lord. And Father, mostly I just pray for our unbelieving, not only family, but people in our community. The world around us is getting worse, it seems, every day. I'm afraid for these people that don't have your son Jesus as their Savior. Father, they have nothing to trust in. They have nothing. And they know not, as it was in the days of Noah, Father. They were marrying and giving in marriage and just living their life today, not really understanding what's going on. Father, just keep us healthy and teaching your word each and every day and praying for this country, America, Father, because the enemy is everything possible to destroy us. Our debt is so big and bad. Only you can fix it, Father. There's no way out that I can see. It's made us all slaves, Father, here in America. And no one knows about it. It's not being taught. It's not talked about every day like it should. And Father, just keep us focused on you and your word and not our problems. You are our provider. If we obey your word, Father, right, you will make a way for us. You are our way maker, Father. And just keep us in your word and this change that you want to bring about in our ministry, Father, where we can get more call-in times and a little bit more YouTube exposure. Father, bless that. Bless that, our outreach for you to enlarge your kingdom. Yes, I understand you had mentioned it to Pastor Tony. It's his church. But ultimately, Father, it's your church. I don't want my name on it. I mean, I want it to be your church, Father. Glorify you. and just bless our ministry and our outreach for your kingdom. And I ask this to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you all. You have a wonderful night. And I think Pastor Tony's going to start Thursday evening. We're going to start doing a little bit more regular messages. So stay tuned for that. Maybe twice a day. So we'll see what the Lord brings out, what he wants done, and we'll get done. We'll keep you notified, so keep staying with us. All right. God bless you all. You have a wonderful night. All right. Bye-bye.